Right now in your practice, you know, I think there's also, you know, Abraxane's only been out now a few months, and I think people are sort of sorting through reimbursement issues, et cetera, et cetera. But sort of putting that aside, looking at the agent itself, at this point, based on the research data that we have, where do you see the role of Abraxane?
I think of it this way. If we rewound the clock 5 or 10 years and we didn't call these drugs Taxol, Taxotere, or Abraxane, but we called them drugs A, B, and C. And if I had left academic medicine to go work for a new drug development company and I was presented with the data showing the efficacy and safety profiles of drugs A, B, and C, A being cremaphore-based paclitaxel, B being docetaxel, and C being Abraxane, and someone showed me this drug that, unlike the other two drugs, didn't require the use of pre-medications, was aqueously soluble, didn't cause allergic reactions, and had efficacy that seemed to be as good or better, which drug would I choose to develop for that company, A, B, or C? And I think it would be the drug that we now know as Abraxane. The ability to deliver drugs more safely offers a real potential benefit. And even if the randomized trial perhaps didn't show a higher response rate or a modestly longer time to progression compared to paclitaxel, simply the ability not to have to premedicate and to not have to worry about serious allergic reactions, in my mind, would make this the obvious choice.
So right now in your practice, are you using it and in what situations?
I am using this. Again, the issue always that comes around the emergence of a new drug, there are always cost issues, and there is a cost differential right now, given that cremaphore-based paclitaxel is generically available, and it's not a trivial differential. So even at Memorial Sloan Kettering, this is a consideration for the pharmacy budget, and we have guidelines for the use, and the guidelines tend to reflect the data in scenarios that are parallel to those where Abraxane's efficacy was shown in the first-line setting and the second-line setting. When one would use paclitaxel, then I'm very motivated to substitute Abraxane.
What about Abraxane in the adjuvant setting, particularly patients who may be having problems with cremaphore, paclitaxel, or docetaxel, or just period, using it in the adjuvant setting?
Yeah, so I have used Abraxane a handful of times so far in the adjuvant setting, and the scenarios are all memorable. Patients who have had strong allergic histories to other agents. In one scenario, indeed, a woman with a bipolar disease who becomes manic with steroid exposures to the point where I spoke with her psychiatrist about the need to avoid corticosteroids, and with appropriate permission from our pharmacy and therapeutics committee, was granted the permission to use Abraxane in the adjuvant setting, which was a nice thing and allowed us to give this woman appropriate anthracycline and taxane-based adjuvant therapy without having to give corticosteroids.
Was that dose dense, incidentally?
No, I did not use this dose dense. And again, that is the subject of this upcoming trial in metastatic disease to determine really the feasibility. So I hesitate right now to tell anyone that 260 per meter squared of Abraxane every 2 weeks is just okay to do. I believe, is it U.S. Oncology is doing some pilot work. I haven't seen any data yet. Until I see that data, I will worry about the potential that 260 per meter squared of Abraxane every 2 weeks might be excessively neurotoxic, even for 4 cycles. I haven't seen the data yet, so something that we're certainly going to test prospectively in a trial. And when I have used Abraxane, although the AC portion certainly comes dose dense, I've given it every 3 weeks.